All right, Cole. What are you doing this week?
Well, Gary, I've been thinking about the wonderful world of video games whose names are based on songs. Killer Queen, you know? Things like that's a game. That's one of those.
Killer Queen.
Yeah. The Adventures of Bayou Billy.
Yeah, the Adventures of Trombone.
Yeah.
The trombone. Referring to.
Yeah. And I have a recent
it's a horn, it's brass.
I have a recent property acquisition that I think we can leverage. Gary, I recently bought a juvenile detention facility.
Oh, hey boys.
Yeah.
Hey, what's up, kids?
For that rainbow. It's where the rough and tumble kids they do their stuff. It's like a school for troubled children.
I
just figured we would wait out in the parking lot and see who drives by. See who drives by. Listen to the songs that are coming through, and then we can go from there. How about this?
Okay. Well, I think that sitting in the parking lot outside the boys' detention center, just kind of creeping.
I own the place.
Is a look that I'm going for.
Yeah.
Like I think that just kind of hanging out, watching boys go out in the exercise yard, who are young, underage,
right,
and also bad boys and crime crims. Mm-hmm. I am here for, and that's the kind of image I'm trying to cultivate.
Yeah.
So cool.
I'm happy you're on board. So I just here comes a car. Here comes a car. So it's rolling up. Just like I figured, it is some kind of metal here. Is that Anthrax?
Are they doing it, Cole?
Yeah.
In the concept behind this,
yes,
is the idea that people who drive by juvenile detention centers play music that the people in the detention centers might like?
No, it's the people from the school for troubled children leaving for the day, and they drive by listening to their favorite music.
Do you teach what a jail is? Like they don't get to leave.
Oh, shit. Yeah. I just,
come on, man. Oh, you know what this is. Your family.
It might just be one of the employees. But still, there's a car pulling up playing some Anthrax.
Okay.
It's a turnkey operation, okay?
Okay, I understand now. We have a lot of education to do. Yeah. Let's get this randomization over so I can start teaching you concepts.
I got kind of a Casper Hauser thing going on over here.
It's okay.
I think I recognize the person inside there. Is that Darren?
What?
Oh, hey, Darren.
Who?
Hi, Darren. Hey, hi. You listening to some Armed and Dangerous there?
Yeah, it's easily my sixth, maybe even fifth favorite Anthrax song, so I thought I'd treat myself. It's been a long day.
Hell yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. I think I remember there being a kind of okay Xbox game named that, so why don't we just do that?
That sounds good. Let's go see if they have an Xbox One hooked up into the rec room of this prison, Cole, where they have a rec room, but they're not allowed to do any recreation they like. It's strictly controlled, and there's certain hours.
Okay.
They can do it. And this is for crimes that they've done. Young crimes, so we don't send them to a regular jail. But it's still a jail. They're still stuck there.
Protect me, Darren.
Would you like to explain recreation?
It's activities you don't have to do.
Like playing video games, like Armed and Dangerous for the Xbox.
Yeah.
Good segue.
Well, it wasn't until you pointed it out. Jeez. Do I have to explain to you what segues are?
I thought it was weird that you're driving a segue with a CD player, but okay.
Oh.
I am Gary Butterfield.
I'm Cole Ross.
And I'm Darren Sampson.
Darren, do you have a this is Epic Suffering. Do you have an idea for a an opening for us, a catchphrase for the beginning? I'm outsourcing these now because I don't like any of them.
Jeez.
I know. Wow, I put you on the spot. I need to keep them out.
Just you play video games so other people don't have to? I mean, so they're neither good nor bad.
Neither good nor bad. This is fairly good. I thought. I think this is kind of a great game.
I thought so until I actually replayed it.
It's definitely of its era, but it's not like there was no joy to be had here. It reminded me of things that I liked more than this. You know, like Ratchet and Clank, like, or MDK? Mercenaries.
Yes, like MDK. Ratchet and Clank was the first thing that came to mind as well because of the just weird weaponry angle.
Yeah, the weird weaponry and the kind of the offbeat sense of humor. I really braced myself when I opened this up because, ooh, it's the Giant Citizen Kabuto guys. There's going to be some real British humor here. But, like, I had a couple of giggles, I had a couple of laughs in the opening cinematic. I think they handled it really well.
Yeah, it really felt like a mixed bag when I when I dipped back into it at the weekend. Because this is a game that I picked up, like, secondhand probably in 2004 because the original Xbox was my first games console and every game I got was something I had to buy myself, which meant I was buying cheap and nasty shit wherever I could find it just so that I had anything to play that wasn't Halo.
Yes.
And this was also the same kind of era where the idea that the Monty Python and the Holy Grail was the funniest film on earth.
Yeah. That time. Yeah, there was some real, there's some real big Monty Python. Like this is exceedingly British, but it's like it's like somebody's idea of British. It's this weird, like, I'm sure that actual British things are you know, a little bit more deft than this.
I actually assumed this entire thing was a British production until I looked into anything about it whatsoever.
Because
there's a lot of like the thing that really stuck out to me without getting ahead of ourselves, not like we're going through this in order, but there is an alarming amount of sheep shagging jokes in this game.
Ooh,
yeah, I noticed a lot of sheep fucking. It's also weird too because there are some, like, I was watching the cutscene, the opening cutscene, you know, when I started the game, and in general, like, it's okay, but I did get one really big laugh of it with the glass eye joke.
Oh God,
yeah,
which is so weird. Like, someone just turning around and then inserting two gigantic, like, pool balls into their ocular orbs.
That's exactly what I laughed at. To trick the soldiers into believing you're not blind.
I thought that was pretty funny.
That is so funny.
And then later, though, it's Sheep Fuck City.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Which, like, why sheep? I guess they're soft. You know?
I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, but, like, that is a common disparaging thing to say from somebody who is from a different one of the United Kingdoms, let's say.
Kind of, yeah. It is a very anti-Welsh type of angle to go for.
Gotcha.
But, I mean, there are sheep all over the country. There's a lot of countryside.
Yeah.
So, like, I don't know why sheep are all relegated to Wales, but
So, like, hearing that, it's a little bit like it's a little bit like seeing, oh gosh, Rare, a British developer in Conker's Bad Fur Day, having a whole chapter about hillbillies who want to have sex with their donkeys or whatever. It's just real
hot.
Yep, precisely.
Yeah, I know what you're putting. I'm picking up. I'm reading between the lines here.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. It's a very strange. It's a very strange proclivity that I guess we have to assume that, oh, this is the kind of joke that another culture makes about, you know, not marginalized, but, you know, others within their country or whatever. I don't know what I'm saying. Gary, rescue me.
Yeah. No, I understand. I understand what you mean.
Yeah.
It does feel like, I wonder, you could tell us this, Darren, probably. Is this something where, like, to us, it just seems like, oh, this is kind of hackneyed. Is it, in the cultural context that you're from, is it more offensive? Is this actually something like, is sheep fucking, like, is that like a slur? Is that legitimately offensive? Or is it more just kind of like a hack joke?
It's hackney as hell. I haven't heard anyone make one in any sort of earnestness in at least a decade.
No.
It's not in vogue. If you tried to, like, insult someone by saying that to them now, they'd probably just look at you like you had some actual problems.
Yeah.
Mm.
Rather than actually being offended. Because
it is. If someone told me I was like a sheep fucker, I wouldn't be offended because my mind would immediately go to logistics. Because it would be very hard for me to do. I think that if you, like, let's say you put a gun to my head, I could break into a petting zoo. I don't know if I had to. You know? But it'd be difficult. It's good. And I don't know how young they are in the petting zoo, so that's weird. You know, you don't want if you're gonna sheep fuck, you don't want to fuck a young sheep. You want to fuck like an adult.
Yeah, you know? You don't want to cross multiple taboo barriers at once.
Yeah, no, yeah. What am I gonna do after it? Like eat it or like kill it and fuck it? Like there's no in for a penny, in for a pound when it comes to this.
Yeah. the idea of doing what people do every day at the end of this horrible string of crimes that you've committed.
just like a nice side of mutton after my
Well, no, it wouldn't be mutton if you're going for the young ones. Come on now.
but wait, with the Ratchet and Clank connection, they had a whole gun that turned people into sheep. This is getting too perverse for me.
If I had to break into a petting zoo, I think that
Gary, you keep touching the stove.
The way I would do it is I would go to the zoo,
away from the stove, and you just keep just testing if it's still hot.
It might not be hot anymore, guys. So if go to the zoo as a normal zoo goer,
okay,
you know, I'd wear like a tourist hat and have like a camera and stuff like around my neck, maybe a Hawaiian shirt, okay, you know, try to look really incognito.
Yeah. Look like the tourist from Zombies Ate My Neighbors is what you want to do. Yeah.
And then I might go to like a bathroom stall and stand on the toilet, you know, and hopefully let the zoo close.
Okay.
Because at night, I feel like the zoo is your oyster.
Specifically the petting tank at the aquarium.
Yeah. All of those oysters are your oyster.
Yeah. Well, I mean, there are so many like better things to do to break into a petting zoo for, you know, maybe the llamas really want to meet the pigs, right? They're looking in, they got those long necks. They see them over there. They look like they're having fun. I would break in just so I could feed them something besides those pellets.
Yeah. Or like free, like just bust open the pellet machine, be free, my brothers.
Yeah.
You know? He could become ungovernable. I love you. And while one llama is imprisoned, I am not free. Like, yeah.
there is no precedent for a group of animals on a farm becoming communist. It's fine. Yeah. It's good. That's good. It always works out okay.
Just leave a bunch of copies of Animal Farm.
Yeah. Oh, wait.
Like on the nightstand after I fuck the sheep. So... let's not lose sight of the prize.
Right. Yeah.
let's remember why we're here.
Yeah. I forget. Is this game, was it designed to be like 4-player co-op? Like you run around with a bunch of your folks, or am I thinking of another one? Like there was another one that was similar. It was like not Brutal Legend, but like Brutality or something like that.
I don't know. This was definitely a thing though. Like this type of game. Like a third over the shoulder, third person running gun is kind of a dead genre.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. I was very surprised to find that it didn't have a cover system in it when I went back to it, because I just associate all third person shooters with cover systems now.
Yeah. I struggled with this at first because I was trying to play it kind of slow and methodically, you know, the rhythm of the time, but you play it something, it's like closer to Doom.
Yeah.
Like you constantly want to be strafing and shooting. Like you never want to be stopping for basically any reason.
Mm-hmm.
It almost feels like they want you to play it slowly to start with, because the first gun you get is a bolt action rifle.
Yeah.
So they signal it really weird. They give you the bolt action rifle, and your sidearm, like your special weapon that you get at first, is like a proximity mine. I see those two things together and think, oh, this game wants me to set traps.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's really not. It's much more like hectic.
Yeah, yeah.
And those proximity mines have got the weirdest grenade throw arc I've ever seen in a video game.
And I've never seen one land flat. Like every time I threw one, it landed on its side.
Yeah,
yeah. Or it sticks to the person you're trying to throw it at.
Yeah.
DM, I got the reverse gravity bomb.
A topsy turvy bomb.
Oh yeah,
a topsy turvy bomb. That thing's great.
It's like the Yoshi.
I thought that was pretty fun.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, very Yoshi, yeah. Like the Yoshi's Island button.
Oh no, I said the oh shit button, not the Yoshi button.
Okay.
Sorry.
The Yoshi button. Buffer. If you break into the petting zoo, you get to push that.
That's an egg dispenser.
But that was very fun. That was a really charming animation.
Mm-hmm.
And also like a good scary concept.
Yeah.
You know?
It's an intrusive thought of mine where I'll be like outside and I'll be driving or something like that, and I'll think, what if gravity forgot to hold me?
Sure.
Yeah, just up you go, flying off the earth.
Like Borzai the Wise in Kadath. where you went up to the mountain and fell into the sky.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Greenland shit.
That isn't where that intrusive thought came from, but now I know which one of those stories not to reread.
Yeah. It's just the end. The end is like, and he fell up, and then also his parents were black, and it's horrible.
Because it's Lovecraft, yeah.
Yeah.
So. Yeah. Now, I was impressed that there was a building destruction in this.
I'd forgotten about that.
Yeah.
I was quite impressed by it as well, going back, even if every single building is one of three pre-designed buildings and they break twice.
Yeah, and they never put you in a position where you can destroy one of the like enemy-spawning yurts, the monster yurts.
Oh, you can destroy those.
Oh, you can?
Yeah.
I was not able to.
Oh. Yeah. I think it takes two or three of the sticky bomb things if you can, you know, throw that frisbee accurately enough to land them all in the same building.
Yeah, I never used the bombs to blow stuff up. It was always the mounted cannons that were there. Yeah, did you beat this when you played it back in the day, Darren?
I'm pretty sure that I did. I think at the time I was compelled enough by the story to just chug on through it.
Yeah,
I think there were a couple of boss fights later in the game that gave me some trouble, but not enough to actually stop me, because back then you have basically infinite time to play video games.
Of course. Good patience.
This is in the category of games where I think, why is this hard?
Yeah,
you know, like as a primarily like a method for delivering these jokes and kind of goofs and tones, what does this game benefit from having these like big challenge spikes?
Mm-hmm.
And yeah. You know, and it's just like, well, it was just kind of the style at the time, and balancing a game is hard, and I get that. But very similar to like the one of these I spent the most time with. Like I never played the Ratchet and Clank games. I never touched Ratchet 1 or Clank 1.
Mm-hmm.
But I played a lot of MDK.
Yeah.
And MDK 2.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what this reminded me the most of. And those games also have ridiculous difficulty spikes, while mostly being a fun forearm dog sniper helmet simulator.
Yeah.
Game.
Yeah, it was just the way they used to make them, especially, you know, like the Xbox is a weird system because it's a lot of PC holdover stuff, but it's like, we need this game to be real long and we need it to have unreasonable difficulty spikes. We need to justify the inclusion of a console command.
Yeah. Xbox, major console I've never owned.
Oh yeah.
I've only played an Xbox, a regular Xbox, once with you at PRG the first time we went.
Oh, cool. When we did Bloodwake. Yeah,
we played Blood Wake, the game about the Bloody Wake.
Yeah,
the Godfather 4 Blood Wake,
the prequel to Alan Wake.
Yeah, the Alan's brother Blood. my brother Blood.
He just sits in a corner menacingly, licking a blade, looking at you. Yeah,
my brother sat there. He sat in darkness. Fucking Alan Wake. He thought about that asshole for like a month.
I had to dig it up.
Yeah. I'm thinking about that asshole Alan Wake, the known asshole.
Well, if you wind up playing Control, you'll end up reading about him.
I'm looking forward to getting to that part of it. God, Control's really good.
I've heard it's very good.
I've enjoyed it.
You're fine. Just do a little Control talk. I'll just be over here looking at my cat.
No, I don't know. Somebody mentioned Control, and it's a fun game I've played recently.
I'm just teasing you.
Gary.
Just teasing you.
Okay.
Accept it.
This studio kind of fell off a cliff a little bit. Because like I remember people really liking Giant Citizen Kabuto, Armed and Dangerous. It got positive reviews at the time, and even if you look at like GameFAQs, it had positive reviews. The last like major thing they did that I played was the Iron Man game for Xbox 360, which isn't terrible, but then like after that, it's all like Disney stuff.
Mm.
Yeah,
Planet Moon Studio did the Iron Man game.
They were involved in it.
Oh,
yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah, they were.
Yeah, it doesn't show up on their Wikipedia where it like goes from Afterburner Black Falcon for the PSP into all like Wii shovelware.
Mm, yeah.
And Booty Blocks.
Yep, I saw Booty Blocks and I wanted to bring that up.
The only game on their Wikipedia that does not have a link with more information.
Yeah. I'm going to download Booty Blocks for my iPod Touch.
Booty Blocks is the pornographic version of Boom Blocks.
Oh,
they could get Spielberg on. What was it?
Yeah.
I remember it being fun, but I don't remember it being especially horny.
The sequel sucks, that game. It was a big bummer. Like, I was very excited for it when it came out because me and my ex-wife used to play Boom Blocks a lot. It was this thing we used to have.
So you mean Steven Spielberg's Boom Blocks?
Yes. Yeah. And then Boom Blocks 2 came out. Whoa, divorce! Divorce town. Oh. Steven Spielberg breaks up another marriage.
Yeah.
Oh. Yeah. But yeah.
It was in irreconcilable differences. Oh. We'd basically fallen out of love, and I realized that our affections for each other were more familial than romantic.
Cool.
Just clarifying that out there.
And you realized this because of Boom Blocks 2?
Yes. It was the realization. Two of the blocks had a very similar situation. Yeah. Gary Blockerfield and Crystal Blockler were there.
You had to see it from outside to understand what was happening.
Yeah.
You know,
nobody understands the outside of another block.
Yeah. I'm a little bit bummed out that I didn't get to hear the villain voiced by Tony Jay. And one of his last this was released quite near his death, actually, in 2006. So didn't mean to bum everybody out, but
yeah. Tony Jay.
Tony Jay.
We mourn a real one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But I kind of like this is not the kind of thing that I would like find myself going out of the way to play nowadays, but I'm sorry to disappoint you, Darren. It's I kind of had some fun with it. Like, the second level was kind of some bullshit and I died for what felt like it wasn't my fault, but but I could see having fun with it.
Yeah. Well, I didn't pick it because I thought it was going to be actively terrible. I picked it because I remembered it being the funniest thing I'd ever played when I was 14 years old.
Comedy games are such a weird tightrope to walk because there's like explicit, you know, we get into an age now where there are explicit comedy games that are just there to deliver the joke. And then there are games like largely adventure games, you know, like associated with LucasArts often in the past that were kind of funny. But there's this weird mid period of funny hard, you know, what you talked about, like, and basically all in this genre.
Yep.
Right. Like there's another one as well that this reminds me of. That was another like goof 'em up difficult. Hang on, I'm trying to remember the name of it.
I mean,
it
it's
now.
Not the same thing, but like this really, like I was getting some real Sacrifice vibes off of
sure,
this.
Sacrifice is another example of like, it's a serious game, but then the humor is like just a tish goofy British.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, and then like obviously your Conkers or what have you as well.
Yeah.
As just like, this is a real video game, but we also want to make jokes during the entire thing. It's a strange thing. We don't really run into that now, I feel like. You know, like, what is, I mean, I guess, like, West of Loathing is funny and a real video game, but that is more on the funny, like, side of things. Like, it's definitely a real game, but it's, the gameplay itself is fairly simple, and it's mostly a joke delivery thing. Like, there aren't tons of, but most things go so far the other way, where it's, like, Jazz Punk, or The Stanley Parable, or Sonic Dreams Collection, you know, or House of a Thousand Snakes.
Like, right.
Well, you know, it's pretty rare that something tries to split the difference. Like, would Goose Game be considered like a modern game that splits the difference? Even though I think that the game is more funny than fun and generally like only okay.
Yeah, yeah. The existence of Goose Game is funnier than
the act of playing it.
Yeah, yeah. What was my experience with it? Yeah, I would say so. I would say, but like Goose Game, like the existence of itself is a meta, is a meta joke too.
Yeah,
because it's just like it's similar to making, you know, any of the blank simulator parodies that happen,
like a goat simulator. That was a weird period that was kind of like a little bit both.
Yeah, yeah.
That's it. Or like I Am Bread.
Yeah, I was just thinking of I Am Bread.
Yeah,
that was the flavor for a little while of this sort of hybrid.
Yeah, I would put this closer to something like an I Am Bread, where like, but even I Am Bread, like part of that is like, oh, this is a wacky control scheme as well.
That's it's got Quap DNA.
Yeah.
Yeah. To it.
And Surgeon Simulator.
Yep.
Oh, Sitcom. Yeah. The Adult Swim. Like, well, that was like all Adult Swim did. And now they're published like Death's Gambit. Like, for a long time, it was all exclusively, you know, goof 'em ups. But yeah, the state of comedy games in 2019 is in a weird place. And definitely in 2003, it was.
Yeah. This almost became a WAF dispatch. Talking about comedy games.
Oh, the comedy games. Yeah. Well, I mean, it could be in the future.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah. We'll now have this as a quiver in an arrow in our quiver.
A quiver and our bow.
Yep.
it'll be a quiver in our Hawkeye for when we talk about that eventually.
Yep.
So.
Oh man.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. How I only got to the second mission as well.
Yeah.
When I played this, but I ran out of time. I wasn't like bored or angry. I just, you know, kind of ran out of time. I was behind the wall a little bit this morning. And when we're damning this with faint praise, Darren, you should know that the second thing we're recording during this session is the Hooters game.
Oh, wow.
So there's a curve that happens.
I just saw on the Patreon poll that had just won for the next exquisite suffering.
Yes.
It was a wise choice of patrons because there is a lot of stuff on there that's pretty wild.
Yeah.
And the body of the Hooters game, there's almost nothing to it.
Uh-huh.
But I didn't like, did you know, Darren? I mean, and this is spoiling stuff from another episode and stuff. Did you know that Hooters had an airline?
Excuse me?
Yeah, right?
I didn't even know they had a video game.
Yeah. See, like, that's the only, like, there's definitely going to be a part of that episode where we're just going through the lawsuits one by one.
I mean, I have Hooters to assume the video stuff. Game was pretty successful if they could afford an airline from it.
Like, with that Hooters road trip money, yeah. We're going to buy our own airplane.
I don't trust this restaurant to cook my steak correctly, but I will definitely trust them to hold me at a cruising altitude of 40,000 feet.
Yeah. Well, yeah, you know, they make a good patty melt, but can they land a plane? You know, it's all pretty wild. So this was a breath of fresh air. I played the Hooters game first. I'm like, this is horrible and like ridiculous. And I played this. I'm like, oh, this is a video game.
Yeah, and you end up with these little things where like it just, you know, generally we do two games at once when we record the show. Like we end up kind of grading the other on a curve if the one is especially bad. But like this is totally something I would have played back in the day. As well, you know, like I was big in MDK too, and like MDK would be fun to revisit, but that falls into the shiny trap.
Oh, the control scheme for MDK, man! Like, try picking up a Dreamcast controller and playing MDK now. Like, it's really weird.
Yeah, what was it? The left control stick moved you forward, back, left, and right, and then you aimed by pressing the face buttons.
Yep.
Yeah. There we go.
It was extremely bizarre.
It was dual stick with only one stick.
It does not work. But you mentioned earlier, you mentioned Mercenaries, which is something I've wanted to get on Watch Out for Fireballs for a long time. Like,
great.
I loved those games. Yeah. Did you ever play those, Darren? Did you ever play Mercenaries?
I played bits of the first two. I think they were PlayStation 2 exclusive, so I didn't get a lot of hands-on time because I was an Xbox guy. But they took World Destruction to a level that I don't know that I've seen in a video game since.
Yeah, mm-hmm. The only thing I can think of that would like stack up to that would be like Red Faction Guerrilla, maybe. But like there's stuff in Red Faction Guerrilla that is really satisfying. Like that hammer is a really fun weapon, but like calling in an airstrike, you know, like calling in an airstrike in a context that is not just I win this multiplayer map. This multiplayer match, but just like, oh, I'm going to affect the world state. Like that is so satisfying.
Well, and it had like Crackdown DNA.
Yeah,
like you were hunting down bounties, and it could be like, oh, this guy is hiding out in this tower, and if you had the resources for it and could get close enough, you could call in an airstrike on the tower.
Yeah,
and like kind of short circuit the objective and like not do the boss fight, which is awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Super or if they were hiding in a bunker underneath an underground compound and you'd saved up enough, like $500,000 or something, just drop a bunker buster right in the middle of it and create a tunnel directly to that asshole instead of fighting through 200 people.
Alton Brown's ultimate unitasker, the bunker buster. It does one thing. It's right there in the name.
just filming the explosion at a Dutch angle.
Just calling in a time traveling food ethnologist to describe the like bunker buster parfait. There's something there, like
maybe
if everyone is familiar with the peanut buster parfait.
Absolutely not.
I know. No, Gary. Yeah. Sorry.
I think it's a Dairy Queen.
Okay.
Thing.
Oh, okay. Yeah, no, it's Dairy Queen.
Well, Darren, sure, you should know about it. Like, with what? What, with the queen?
Dairy Queen. We've got the real thing. We don't
we have regular queen.
Your milky imitators.
In America, we have Dairy Queen. In the United Kingdom, they have regular queen.
We make do with the Burger King when it comes to fake royalty.
I wish that there was more GameFAQs gold for this. It was a relatively dry well. We've got somebody on the message board saying, why is this game so hard? And the person says, oh, the second mission is so painful. Then Salamander Hero comes in and says, really? I never had a problem. I thought it was painfully easy, which edges into internet etiquette lessons that we have given multiple times. Yeah. It smells funny in there. No, it doesn't.
I like that the one fact has a part where it says, are there spoilers? You be the judge, which to me is the opposite of what you're looking for if you're trying to find out if there's spoilers for something.
Because what if the answer is yes? There are some spoilers immediately yeah. after that sentence.
Yeah,
that is true. Yeah, it's pretty frustrating. if you were extremely invested in the spoilers for this.
Also in that fact, there's an about the author, but it's literally just, hey, this is my name, and here
it's very
is
reasonable.
Yeah, it's very reasonable. And I wanted to dunk on the help wanted thing, but it's literally just this person saying, like, oh, like, if you have things to contribute, I'm willing to collaborate, etc.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
so yeah, I can't do this on my own.
Yeah, which is a healthy approach to this kind of work. So
this is a pretty emotionally well-adjusted GameFAQs poster.
It's really disappointing. We need more. We need train wrecks.
Let's go back in time and traumatize him as a child.
Yeah, let's teach him libertarianism.
Yeah, when he does this, like, let's just slip Atlas Shrugged into his book bag at school as a kid, just so this game fact could be the ultimate time crime.
Yeah, I'm looking at a list of some of the weapons. Like, what's the craziest or most fun weapon that's in this game, Darren, that we didn't get to?
Well, the topsy-turvy is a pretty strong start, but I only put about an hour into this, so I got almost maybe halfway through it when I sat down and played it. Mm-hmm. The phrase that I keep repeating over and over again in my head, and I can't find answers on the internet about it, is the Vindaloo Rocket Launcher. Mm-hmm. I have no idea what that does, but my imagination just tells me that whoever you hit with it immediately shits themselves to death, but that can't be what it does. There's no way.
I don't.
The Land Shark gun is pretty hard to top.
The Land Shark gun? What's that do?
It fires a land shark at the enemy. Stupid question.
Yeah. If you know what those three words mean, Cole.
Okay.
Yeah. Let's not go back to the beginning of the show.
Shame on me.
Yeah, don't make me explain guns.
So they can't leave?
Yeah. No, it's a prison.
Even if they want to.
No, well, especially if they want to.
Oh. This is weird, man. Okay.
Similarly, the land sharks can't leave the land unless they're mm-hmm. taking a bite out of an enemy, and then they just disappear back underground again.
Mm.
And regular sharks, Cole, cannot leave the water.
Oh, okay. What about sewer sharks?
Sewer sharks can't leave the sewers.
Mm. What about street sharks?
Street sharks can't get off the street. You can take the street out of the street shark. You can't get the street shark out of the street, but you can't take the street out of the street shark. The original bad boys of street sharkery. How do those guys sleep? Like, if you look at the street sharks, their faces are so forward. Mm-hmm. Like, if they were laying on their back, they're like 4 feet tall.
But with their head pointed straight up.
Yeah, it looks really uncomfortable. Like, how, like, the street sharks would have a really bad, like, snoring issue. I feel like there'd be, like, a lot of, like, they're, like, the sleep apnea sharks.
That was the educational version that the company had to make after the show was canceled.
From the makers of Captain Novalin, sleep apnea shark.
Oh, with Captain CPAP? S-E-A-P-A-P?
Yeah.
Oh, man. I always pictured this the sewer shark sleeping in some kind of harness.
Sure. Yeah. Like moon boots?
I like how astronauts do, just mm-hmm. like a sleeping bag on the wall.
Yeah, I can see that.
The sex swing.
Or, sharks don't sleep, right? So maybe the sewer sharks just walk around in a sleep state, but they never stop moving. They just, like, walk in a circle in their hideout during nighttime.
Just skating in a circle.
Yeah. Wake up to get some shark milk as a guest. you walk into that in the kitchen.
Ugh. Oh, man. You said a crazy thing, that sharks don't sleep.
I'm fairly
sure. Yeah, don't they still move while they sleep?
They don't have
their brain asleep, right? And then their other half is awake.
They only use 10%, so 5% of their brain is asleep. And do sharks sleep? I need to look this up. The Florida Museum. That depends on the shark's species.
Oh.
Yeah. It was once believed that all sharks had to swim constantly in order to breathe, etc. So it depends. Some sharks, such as the nurse shark, have spiracles that force water across their gills, allowing for stationary rest. So it just depends.
Okay.
Yeah, but most of them have active and restful periods. I don't know why. It just sounded crazy that you said a thing that has a heart that beats doesn't sleep.
Well, it's at least somewhat true.
Yes. Yeah.
Like if it's a misconception, it was at least a popular misconception.
Yeah.
I didn't make it up.
No. So I guess it's more that it sounded crazy to my ear rather because I didn't think it through rather than you said something crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's also I say bullshit all the time. Like there's a billion things I'm wrong about that I think I know and I don't.
Right.
So yeah. And I also got to the age now where I don't care.
Oh yeah.
So it's a really dangerous combination of like not being right all the time and not caring if you're right is extremely dangerous.
Yeah. If they can't leave, how do they get in?
Yeah, exactly. Well, we put them there.
Oh, okay. Huh.
Yeah.
Weird.
Yeah. Law sharks put them in there.
Law sharks.
Sharks of the law.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that might be all my stuff on armed and dangerous.
Same.
Yeah.
And sharks.
Almost certainly.
Do you have any shark facts you want to leave us with, Darren?
Oh, no.
That's it. Okay.
No, you already know all the best ones. You're fine.
I basically the non breathing.
Yeah.
Non moving thing. And then the milk.
It's mostly
milk. Mostly milk. Chief mostly milk, my pet shark. Darren, is there anywhere online where people can find you or anything? Do you want that?
I mean,
do you
want to invite your life? But no one needs to know me. It's fine.
Like, it's a good answer. Yeah. I always ask that in case somebody does have something they want to promote, but like the correct answer is no. We appreciate you. Mm-hmm. Thank you for your support. We really do appreciate it.
Thank you for being worth supporting.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it. If people like this show, they can go to patreon.com/duckfeedtv and you can suggest that episode. You can also get bonus episodes and things like that.
Yeah, that's how you get the Hooters episode that we talked about. Hooters road trip episode that we alluded to.
Which we haven't recorded yet, but I assume is going to be good.
Yeah, maybe.
Like I might get some terrible news during it or something. Like it could be, there's lots of things that could happen. It's in the future.
I have a big, like a big stack of envelopes, that just say diagnosis on the outside.
Yeah. We're going to open them one by one. Yeah. During the episode. And a bunch of them are just going to be normal.
Right.
Like diagnosis, your retirement fund is doing well. All right. You know, and then eventually one of them might be the forbidden.
Yes.
Envelope. Yeah, where we find out we have like cancer of the boner from Hooters. We're going to Hooters too often.
Played too much of the game.
We this is the episode where we come out as being like we do the entire episode like, yeah, man, Hooters is great. Like I love chicken wings, I love tits. Like it's what's the problem? I don't understand what's weird about it.
Yeah.
It's super rad.
Well, no, if you go to Hooters for more than 4 hours, you should consult a doctor.
You get wing poisoning and too much. Again, spoiling stuff from another episode. One of the Wikipedia things has a Larry the Cable Guy part that we're going to talk about. And that's essentially the joke.
Yeah.
there's a real nonsense boner joke thinking about Larry the Cable Guy's like turgid member on Wikipedia.
Yep. But otherwise you can leave ratings or reviews on Apple Podcasts and of course come back next week.
Yeah, we appreciate it.
Yeah.
So until next time, mail a shark.
Yeah, mail a shark to 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue.
Umbasa.
Umbasa.
Umbasa.